Read today from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. Jesus began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. A great writer once said that to have a great book, it requires a great theme. So does a great life. For endless streams of books are meaningless and will not last as great literature because they lack having a great theme. And so it is with people. All too much in human history is wasted and meaningless because there is no great theme, no great purpose of life. Men and women have a deep hunger in life for meaning and purpose, but so often they are afraid to let go of a self-centered ego. For to have a great theme in life involves taking a risk of moving beyond that narrow limitation of me and discovering one's true self where Jesus is at the center, nurturing, healing, and empowering us to be men and women for others. Here is our great theme, one that will give us meaning and purpose. For discipleship is this kind of a great theme. It gives meaning and purpose in the daily struggles to live according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Which brings me right to the opening of the gospel. That Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. What a summation. It's the beginning of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And the rest of today we know as the Beatitudes. But there's just these first two verses I want to focus on. Jesus saw the crowds. He went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, the disciples came to him. And Jesus began to teach them. For it gives us a clue to understand what does it mean to be a disciple. For disciples come to Jesus. They move away from the crowd so that they can be nearer to him. Then he began to teach them. The clue is moving away from the crowds so we can learn Jesus' teachings. For the crowds are those who watch and observe. The disciples are those who listen and follow. The disciples step away from the crowd and they move toward Jesus so they can listen and learn. And this is a very difficult challenge. For what is it that you need to step away from now? What is it that's keeping you from getting closer to Jesus? This is a conversion moment. Jesus didn't begin to teach until the disciples had stepped away and then moved closer. For Matthew is relating a story of Jesus in such a way as to evoke an imagery of Moses to his mostly Jewish community. For Jesus and Moses each go up a mountain. Moses received the teaching. Jesus, the teacher, sits as a teacher would in the manner that was revered in the Jewish tradition. For we still speak of having a professor's chair. The popes and the bishops speak a cathedra from the seat. For Jesus to sit down and to begin to teach his disciples is an indication that these teachings are central and official. That's why this Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is called the little gospel. It's the essence of Jesus' teaching. For Matthew, it's all the disciples represent the church, not just the 12 that were the chosen. The real hearers of the sermons are implied as those who read Matthew's gospel. And today, that's for you and I who are gathered here today. But there remains just one question we need to ask. Why then is persecution so inevitable? This is more pertinent, I think, in today's society of social and political climates. For it's inevitable because the church, when it really is the church, is bound to be the conscience of the nation and the conscience of society. Where there is good, the church must praise, and where there is evil, the church must condemn. And inevitably, there will be those who try to silence or to cancel the troublesome voices of conscience. It's not the duty of the individual Christian habitually to find faults, to criticize, or to condemn. But it may be well that he or she, through their every actions and how they live, become a silent condemnation for those unchristian lives of others. In doing so, he or she will not escape their hatred, their persecutions, and there are so many ways to try to cancel or silence them. So again, Jesus' disciples come to Jesus. They move away from those crowds, those things that keep them from getting closer to him. And today's disciples are those men and women who move away so that they can get closer, that they can listen, they can learn, and they can follow. For such a great theme, we'll give meaning and purpose in your daily struggles to live according to the teachings of Jesus Christ.